I am. This is true. We say so many negative things about radio sometimes. We're so relentlessly bleak about the radio industry that I should say this. We're talking about our sister station, the new Movin' 107.5.
It's like a drug for the brain.
That's exactly how they should market it. It's like drugs. It's like smoking a big vial of crack. Anywho,
it's an addiction you don't have to collect copper wire to listen to.
Okay. It's an addiction that doesn't give you scabs. Maybe these are not the positioning statements. They should keep us far away from the marketing of that station. Let's back up now and say that we, as we were getting ready for the break, we were saying that we, and this is not corporate spin, that we are down the hall from Movin' 107.5, which is a new station here at CBS Radio, which is a great radio station. Which really, and here that we were talking about what makes it so great. I say, as everyone just decides to flip over and listen to Movin' 107.5, the thing that makes it kind of cool is that they play so many one-hit wonders mixed in, because it's like a, what do they call it? Rhythmic? Is that what they call it? It's like a rhythmic AC or whatever?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's a lot of...
Make you feel good.
It's a lot of dancey rump-shaking music. But they do all the big artists like that. Like, they do a lot of Michael Jackson, a lot of Madonna, and stuff. But then they do a lot of one-hit wonders. I swear to God they were playing Nothing But a G Thing the other day. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But it seems like they were, but they like the Humpty Dance and just like a lot of those, and Timmy T. We heard Timmy T.
Oh,
on
yes.
That.
So and we were singing and embarrassed Jeff.
They do play a lot of one-hit wonders, and that does that. What I don't say is a disparaging thing. So that does have a sort of crack-like appeal to it. I gotta quit saying that, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, lots of local stuff first. One of the guys arrested for the attempted robbery on Southeast Belmont. They left that guy paralyzed after he shot him. Well, he confessed. Jimmy Keshi is the fellow. He was suspected of shooting 41-year-old Chester Yeon during the attempted robbery. He was tending the store for a friend. It wasn't even his store. So apparently, according to court records, it says this. Keshi told us he was responsible for the robbery and the shooting of the store clerk on Sunday, March 4th, 2007, at Southeast 34th and Southeast Belmont. Keshi states he obtained a revolver from Kojo. Now, apparently one of these people's named Kojo.
Kojo FM.
Then walks into the market, does the robbery, and runs back to the waiting vehicles. Keshi explained he is being pursued, and he doesn't get into the Corvette, but continues running until he sees the Corvette at Southeast 37th Avenue, then gets into the passenger seat, and then takes off. He then states in the court record that Kojo tells him to get out, and then after a short distance, he gets out and gets into the Explorer, driven by his girlfriend Marjorie, and leaves the area. Keshi stated the plan was for him to leave the Corvette so Marjorie was not driving the getaway vehicle. So she's a girlfriend, apparently.
And I have such contempt for criminals on every level. I almost have, and I know this sounds horrible, but I almost have more contempt for the guy now that he's confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to all of this trouble, that it sounds terrible, but you go to all of this trouble that they're switching vehicles and... And doesn't Keshi and Kojo sound like they're going to be in the new Good Burger film or something? There's Keshi and there's Kojo and Marjorie, who apparently is the thing that doesn't belong here. And they're swapping cars and a guy's running and he's getting a gun from a different guy. And after all of this, because he's a pussy, they take him into the interrogation room and he folds like a bad cardboard box after 30... Yes, I did it! See, you go to all of this trouble, make the cops come find you, and then you just cry like a woman when they get you in there and you start to confess it. Be a man.
So this woman, Marjorie, who's 25, is also facing another charge. And apparently, she had been Keshi's girlfriend since October 2006, but they had broken up, and she was considering a restraining order. But I guess you decided, well, why don't I participate in just one more robbery? Just one more time. Give him one more chance.
For old time's sake.
Instead of makeup sex, it's a makeup robbing.
Oh, God almighty. Keshi and Kojo.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have Kojo?
They do have Kojo, yes.
Kojo sounds like some sort of an Alaskan dog.
All right, well, whatever. So, Keshi and Kojo, who we will now be paying to support for the next 10 to 20 years.
Fantastic.
Well, there you go. Well, they could go to prison and be attacked by the barber.
Well, let's hope.
What?
Well, it leads into the next story. Anybody remember Ward Weaver?
Yes.
Way back when.
Oh, he's the Ashley and Miranda.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's recovering after being attacked by the prison barber. Apparently, Weaver was getting his hair cut at the prison barbershop, and the barber turned on him. He pulled out a knife and stabbed him. But not bad enough. He's still alive.
Who started what? Who attacked who?
The prison barber.
Attacked Ward Weaver?
Yeah, well, he was cutting his hair.
Okay, and then Ward Weaver pulled out a knife?
No, the barber pulled out a knife.
What kind of... Oh, I was going to ask what kind of prison it is. That begs the question of, when you're getting your hair cut at the prison, do they let him out? Is it with a... Like
the barber can have a knife.
Really?
Apparently. Well, actually, this is a makeshift knife.
Okay. All right.
So, it's not really super cuts, is it?
No, it's not. The haircuts are all kind of choppy and uneven.
What kind of cut would you like today?
But I give a small trim to your jugular! And so he said, is Ward Weaver dead?
No.
That's too bad.
No.
Let's take a moment to pray for his death silently now.
It's not good enough.
Let's pray for his raping right now.
Nobody would want him. Not even the parish priest.
Any port in a storm, Tim Riley. Maybe the next time there's a power outage at the prison, you can't see what he looks like.
Oh, that could be.
All right. Well, in any event. Okay, so Ward Weaver stabbed, sadly, not dead.
Okay. So now we have a Tanya watch.
Really? Again?
Kind of, yes.
Fantastic. Here's your second Tanya watch. It's been a drought, and now it's a bountiful plenty.
So the headline says, Tanya's publicist says,
Tanya's friend who lives next door.
Meds are blamed for the bizarre calls, which leads you to wonder, is her publicist a full-time job? Does she go to publicists or us?
This is a woman
who... But doesn't not name the publicist or where the publicist works. Or any contact number or email.
You know the publicist is Tanya Harding speaking in a different voice on the phone. Hello? Hi, Tanya. Yes? We have a question about your drug use. Let me get my publicist. And then there's a pause and a rustling. And then she's speaking through a piece of...
Hello?
And that's what that is. That's Tanya's publicist.
So the publicist released a statement yesterday saying, prior to seeking medical help, Tanya had changed over her counter allergy medication. These did not react well to her system. Then she went to a doctor with pneumonia symptoms, and she had been very ill, and her breathing capacity was very low. She was prescribed antibiotics and cough syrup and given a breathing treatment. Tanya thanks everyone for caring. and please, respect her privacy so she can get better. Better into what? What would be termed as better?
I honestly don't have an answer.
What would be better than what she did?
Other than everything? I mean, really.
So then there's another statement from her friend, who apparently isn't a publicist.
Sure.
Her friend says, Harding was taken later Sunday to Legacy Salmon Creek Hospital. She was taken to the hospital by an ambulance from a shopping center in Battleground.
What a place to spend your final moments.
It just gets better and better, boy, doesn't it?
She was going to the big city for a change. I'm tired of being an amboy.
She was tired of hanging around the junkyard.
I'm going to kick the dust of Yakult off my heels and see the big city. She says while heading to the center.
I'm tired of looking at a bunch of old dented falcons. I want to see something better. Well, this friend says her breathing, her asthma was so bad. Oh, wait a minute. This friend was her publicist in the last article. Now she's just a friend. So I guess the friend is a part-time publicist or a part-time friend. We're not really sure.
Also does manicures while you wait. Oh, good God almighty. You know she runs like a beauty school in her basement.
This is a friend and manager. So is this the same thing as the publicist, or is this a separate position?
I don't believe
they're in her entourage.
No, the first story about the publicist does not mention the publicist's name.
I don't know where the statement comes from.
I don't think it actually states that she manages Tanya Harding, though. Then in this story, we have someone named Linda L. Lewis, who's quoted as being Harding's friend and manager. Oh, releasing the the statement via email from Texas. So apparently, we have found out that her friend and manager lives in Texas and sends emails.
Thousands of miles away.
Remember, Pete said, Tanya asked everyone to respect her privacy. Well, she'll get it at the junkyard in your cult. Who would be gathered down there? Unless they're coming from an old hubcap or a white wall from an old Studebaker. Well, she also, let's see, we also have.
I need a suicide knob for my Econo line. Hi, Tanya.
No one at Tanya's rental house. We were told it was a trailer, now it's a house. On a remote stretch of the East Fork Lewis River would answer the door Wednesday. Although someone inside with a low raspy voice apologized for having laryngitis and asked the reporter to leave.
Someone. Let's all connect the dots, shall we? Is that? And you know that the screen door has one of those like little hook eyelet latches, you know, that keeps it closed.
Oh, you see, the Christmas lights are probably still up.
Totally. It's like one of those plastic spinning wind daisy things in the front yard with all the pedals broken.
So it looks like she needs to be treated for laryngitis.
Oh yeah, that's what she needs to be treated for. That'll solve all of her problems.
Now something's killing her voice.
I'm sure the cigarettes help the pneumonia too. Nothing for that pneumonia like a case of Cools.
Well, looks like there'll be no karaoke at the Yakult Tavern in Roadside Inn this weekend.
Tonight's performance of The Rose by Tanya Harding has been delayed due to circumstances beyond the management's control. And it doesn't say what that woman manager says. She's a manager. It doesn't say she's
a friend and manager from Texas.
She can manage the free clinic for all we know. She can manage a Taco Bell.
I don't know if she's part-time, full-time, or how that works.
Scotty, will you please look on the... Does it say the woman's name?
Yes, it does. Her name is Linda L. Lewis.
Linda L., does it say where in Texas?
No.
Somewhere.
An email from Texas.
Linda Lewis in Texas. That shouldn't be... That'll be easy to find. Scotty, just get on that. See if you can find Tanya's, quote, friend and manager to come out and share the good news with us. Yeah. All right. Now, you're thinking of Linda Tripp, not Linda Lewis. All right, there you go. Well, fantastic. Any more news on the Tanya front? Or we just
that'll do it for you.
And did you see the photograph of her? I mean, it is. Some kidding aside. Not much kidding aside. It just seems hard to believe. I mean, she was very nearly an Olympic gold medalist. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just doesn't even seem possible. That's like when you.
Is she still the same size as her wrestling pictures?
When she was all stumpy? I don't really know. This photograph of her yesterday was only the face. Which, that's all fit in the frame. It was the face. And she looked a little, weather-beaten.
Well, there is harsh weather. Not where all the trailers are on the road to the river.
All right, there's your Tanya watch for Thursday. Of the Northwest. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, for the love of God.
That train whistle blares on for over 90 minutes. If you live in Northeast Portland, you're probably very upset today. Apparently, this happened around 8:30 last night. A train whistle blew nonstop for more than 90 minutes. This happened at Northeast Cully and Columbia. Curious neighbors, unable to watch TV with all the noise, were standing outside, too, watching a train whose whistle wouldn't stop blowing.
I'm trying to watch my stories.
They shut all the windows and doors and still could hear the whistle. A railroad worker finally shut off the sound. It wasn't clear what triggered the whistle to be stuck.
So really this... Okay. So after they couldn't watch TV, they all just stood outside of their porches and looked at the train.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Where is this picture of Tanya Harding? Is it on page 2? Of the
Empire
Hilton?
Yes, it's terrible. I don't know if it's an old picture or not.
Make sure that there might be a pot of Dan. You never know when his site's just going to play something crazy. No. Okay, I'm on page 2, but I don't see it.
This is supposedly a picture of Tonya Harding. I am on... Yeah, I'm on page two right now. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be there. It's next to the Lindsay Lohan with Coke smeared on her pants.
What?
Between that.
I love this country.
And Ryan Seacrest.
On page two of today's Perez Hilton.
Yeah.
I am on, let's see. No, in fact, Lindsay Lohan's not even on this. The top story here is that guy that looks like Ron Jeremy. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Okay, well, color me stupid. Would you come over here and find it for me?
Yeah.
Because I'm on picture. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
No, let's talk about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Your microphone is off.
My microphone is off. Let's talk about terrorist Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He has admitted to his role as the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. A transcript of Mohammed's secret tribunal hearing at Guantanamo Bay Detention Center has him saying, quote, "I was responsible for the 9/11 Operation A2Z. Former NATO Commander General Wesley Clark comments on that.
I was gratified that we got him. I'm angry that someone would do this to people. I think he should be prosecuted to the full extent of the authorities that we have over him, and I'm glad he's off the street.
Yeah, all right.
He's been off the street for quite some time.
Seriously, he's been off the
streets of Guantanamo Bay.
it's been a Quinn Martin production. He's been in a basement somewhere having somebody stomp on his testicles. He really did confess to everything but, like,
everything
killing,
imaginable.
Everything but killing JFK. He's confessing to crimes that haven't even happened yet. And I'm unclear, speaking of this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, how strange that I even know all these guys' names. I don't even know what they do, but I know their names.
He doesn't do much now.
And that guy, he doesn't do much. He sort of sits there and bleeds. I thought this guy that looked like Ron Jeremy had claimed responsibility for 9/11. I thought Osama bin Laden committed 9/11.
Well, he did at one point.
I don't understand. So, but this guy says he did it.
Yeah.
So
it gets Osama off the hook.
Is he just a glory hog? Is he? He's just attempting to steal Osama's thunder. Is that the deal?
That's exactly what's going on here.
All right. Okay.
General Wesley Clark says we can't take Mohammed at his word. Then he claims responsibility for everything about 9/11.
Well, I think it's going to have to be corroborated by other information, and presumably we have that information, and perhaps it's available even to be released to the public.
Yeah, I'm sure it's available. I mean, you hit a guy in the face long enough with a hammer, I'm sure
it's available.
Any information you want is available. Name pie to the 5,000 decimal place. All right.
Congressman Albert Wynn said there's no way to know whether Mohammed is being truthful or not.
I think you have to look at the evidence and see whether the evidence supports the admissions that he's made. I think he probably was involved in certainly some of the activities he's described, perhaps not others, perhaps he is covering. It's difficult to speculate at this point without seeing more evidence.
Well, that's a very positive thing.
He has nothing to lose from his perspective, and to the extent it might detract the U.S. investigators, the U.S. military personnel, from looking at other suspects, he believes it helps his cause.
All right. By the way, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the official Tonya Harding website here, which is unchanged, by the way, from the last time I looked at it, which is about 9 years ago. It hasn't changed at all, including the photographs. In these photographs, she's still a very diminutive girl in these photographs. Less so, I think, now. And this picture of her on Perez Hilton is just horrifying. I mean, it really... this picture of her on Perez Hilton from when she was... When is this that she was doing this wrestling or this boxing? I mean, she got a couple years ago.
Arms, yeah, like, she was doing that on the coast, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, she really does look like she's coming to eat one of your children. This is... Well, let me see if this will play. This is the... Tanya's official... let's see. This is the greeting that Tonya Harding is giving everybody who comes to her website. Let's hope it's not filled with profanity. I'm just going to download it for her because it's kind of sizable. Let's do one more and then we'll take a break. Here's Tim Riley.
So what should we do with all these terrorists? Maybe we should just kill them. American Idol judge Simon Cowell shares his opinion on whether or not public execution should be televised. The 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper.
Do you think everything should be shown on TV?
Yeah.
Public execution, should they be on TV?
I think people should be given a choice to watch them, I guess. Yeah, why not?
With commercials?
Sponsorship.
Well, I will... Okay, there you go.
Well, there are similarities between American Idol and medieval stonings.
Some people have equated it to a medieval stoning, that it's the same kind of motivation which people watch it.
It's an interesting thought for a show where we actually could do that, but...
you would consider that?
Why not? I can see a similarity to a point, but it's human nature. You know, we are
fascinated. These are all really profound insights, Simon. Thank you.
Boy, that huge publicity machine that just doesn't...
Boy, that guy's... And he just seems really rock dumb. I mean, Simon, I've never...
Well, all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
No, he seems pretty brilliant to me.
I don't know. What is he really...
Well, he's Britain's cable guy.
But, I mean, what is he... It's true.
He owns a record label.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's a big-time producer and discoverer of talent.
Did that come, though, before he was famous?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So he actually does...
He's been in the business for a long time. That's why he was picked.
He has skill at something, then.
Yes.
Okay, because he just...
Well, he owns a good chunk of the show, and whoever gets signed, he owns a chunk of that.
God, American Idol is
businessman.
I mean, and you know, none of us on the show watch American Idol, and that's fine. Don and Mike do enough American Idol talk to make it for like any 10 radio stations, which is fine. None of us here watch it because, but it doesn't really matter because, as you pointed out, it's like it can't be stopped. It really is. It is this juggernaut, and it's strange that all of the other reality shows have sort of fallen by the wayside. I mean, I guess kind of people still watch them. Like, people, I guess, still watch The Apprentice and stuff, but there's really no heat on those. And even The Real World, which is sort of the granddaddy of all of those shows, it's just, you know, it's sort of there, but you don't really think about it. American Idol, I really can't explain it. And please,
it's a self-cleaning machine.
Let's never, it's true. It's like, the American Idol is like one of those public toilets they have in Seattle now. When you're done, the whole thing just closes up and... Power washes the Justin Guarini right off of it, and then it's ready for the next go-around. I mean, please don't ever pick up the phone and call us about American Idol. I'm just saying that it's just one of those things I can't really explain. I can't explain the popularity of it, which is fine. Well, Scotty watches it. I should know. Scotty's stepping screen. I love Simon Cowell. I watch it every time it's on. Well, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. I'm just saying I don't understand it. Let me play this Tonya Harding thing, then we'll take a break here. This is the greeting from her website.
Hi, I'm Tanya.
Okay, now, doesn't it sound for all the world like one of those video dating things from the 1980s?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hi, my name is Ted, I enjoy handball and men who aren't afraid to cry. This is copyright. What year do you think this greeting on Tanya Harding's website was copyrighted?
1997.
99. This is Tanya, thin Tanya, wearing what looks to be an acid-wash denim vest. And with her hair in a ponytail, standing in the woods.
Hi, I'm Tanya. I just would like to thank all my fans out there for supporting me through thick and thin.
It's mostly thick now.
You need a Z sounder for that.
Sorry. It's mostly thick now. That wasn't really worth the wait. All right, we got to get through this. Let's see. This is, okay.
I'm Tanya. I just would like to thank all my fans out there for supporting me through thick and thin. Without your support, I probably would not be here today. And I'd also like to thank you for logging on to my website, the official website, TanyaHarding.com. Hope to see you soon. Bye now.
Well, let's go see her. She clearly needs company.
She's losing it.
Well, she can't talk now. She has laryngitis.
Thank you for coming. Hey, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you.
Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. My PE coach, one of my PE teachers, used to live next door to Tonya Harding during the whole Nancy Kerrigan stuff.
Yes.
He always talked about that. But anyways, about Simon Cowell.
Mm-hmm.
He is the producer of over 70 different idols. Each nation, there's like many different India idols. There's Pakistan idols. There's many idols. And he gets rights off all those. He has royalty rights off of every winner that goes to there. He gets a percentage of their record sales.
I'm not disputing that he's a savvy businessman, or that at least the people that surround him are savvy businessmen. I mean,
I think he's a billionaire.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the guy is. I'm not disputing the fact that he clearly makes a lot of money and has positioned himself to do that. I'm just saying, like, when you say that there's Pakistan Idol and there's American Idol, and I think in Britain it's called X Factor is the name of the show, and they all power records. But I mean, like, has he ever produced anybody that anybody would know? Like, has he ever produced a hit record that we would know? Or is he just one of those guys that was just like around the scene at the right time and has just leveraged everything off of this one thing he does?
I'm not sure. Anderson Cooper was co-hosting Regis and Kelly yesterday.
I bet that was hard-hitting television.
Oh, it was great. I was at jury duty, and so that was the only thing on TV, so I watched that. him talking about Simon Cowell, that's why I know.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Kyle. There you go. Anderson Cooper, Regis, and Kelly talking about Simon Cowell. So you can feel your brain turning to oatmeal. Let's take a break here. We'll come back more. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's the AM 970 Noon News Hour. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. You stay there. The Rick Emerson Radio Program is 503-733-2970. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, new out of Washington today, a key House committee has approved a $125 billion war funding deal that would impose deadlines for the withdrawal of U.S. troops in Iraq. The House Appropriations Committee moved the legislation to the full House, which is expected to take that up next week. John Murtha agreed that U.S. forces should not be a policing civil war in Iraq.
In Iraq, they're fighting each other, and our troops are caught in between.
And then we have California Republican Jerry Lewis insisting that Democrats are marching down the wrong path.
This legislation ties the hands of our commander-in-chief during a time of war.
Ladies! That was so cheap. That's so beneath me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing two. Flavin and Flavin, which is not even Jerry Lewis. Flavin is Professor Frank from The Simpsons, who is clearly based on Jerry Lewis.
Nobody remembers Jerry Lewis anyway.
No, it's true. Only just
us. Over 60.
It's just us, just him and his... And even Jerry Lewis, even when I think of him now, I don't really think of, like, a young...
I think of that pencil drawing.
I just think of the caricature. I don't even think of that. I just think of the huge, round-headed, like the Great Pumpkin-looking Jerry Lewis, where he's just sort of this big...
Like an older John Travolta.
But he, like... Yes, but even worse. Like, if John Travolta had all the bones removed from his head, and he was... If John Travolta was carrying around his face and brain inside a bag of some kind. Anyway, sorry.
So Tony Snow is criticizing what happened today with these people.
Resolution that would pull the rug out from under the Iraqi people by trying to set artificial deadlines when it comes to U.S. military commitments.
They don't have rugs. They don't have how. They don't have anything.
Not even a flying carpet.
They got nothing.
Meanwhile, Iraq's President Jalil Talabani is resting at home after a 2-week stay at a Jordanian hospital. His son, Kubad, told reporters in Nashville, what's he doing in Nashville, that his father is doing much better.
It was not a heart attack or a stroke, as some in the media had presented. It was actually a series of infections that had spread that affected his kidney. But thankfully, he's back on his feet. He'll be back to work soon. He's back in the Kurdistan region, and it was good that he got checked out.
He's visiting Dollywood.
That's in Knoxville.
Oh. What? Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was in Nashville.
No, it's further up in Knoxville.
Why do you know where Dollywood is?
I've been through that entire area.
I'm sorry. Really? What would ever have taken you through Knoxville? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine the many twists. I don't even really know where Tennessee is. Let me just admit that right now. Isn't that what we're talking about? Isn't that where Knoxville is?
You don't want to get off the highway.
Just stay there.
Keep going.
Just put the accelerator down and go as fast as you can all the way through the state. It's like driving through Chernobyl. Roll up your windows and drive as fast as your car will go for the next 300 miles. Wear a diaper. Never stop. All right. Is the president of Iraq really named Talabani?
Yeah,
well, that's going to end well.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Say, here's a name from the past. Anyone remember Sean Hornbeck?
Wait,
Is that the is that the guy that Hank Williams Jr. beat up?
No.
That was Holly Hornbeek.
Oh.
This is the Missouri teen who was kidnapped for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. I had an Xbox and Jesus.
Yeah,
he did.
Well, anyway, he and his family moved into their new home. This is the silliest thing that people did. In Redwoods, Missouri, apparently good-well-meaning people built them a new home thinking that's going to make everything all right.
That'll cure your son's crazy mental state.
Right. So Sean Hornbeck's stepfather, Craig Akers, notice his real father, he's never mentioned, never, said the family was speechless when they saw their brand new four-bedroom, two-bath home yesterday.
I didn't know of a word that would fill the bill, that would fit the way that I truly felt. So we decided we were going to have to make up some new words. The first word that I could come up with was fantabulous.
Yeah, so this also includes an office for the Sean Hornbeck Foundation, whatever that might be.
It's matching up a desirable older men with the young, supple boys who please them.
That would be the NAMBLA office.
The NAMBLA. I can't stay. Gotta go meet up with the NAMBLA. And fantabulous isn't a new word, Dick. I've been saying that
for years. Well, from Missouri, that's quite the vocabulary.
Shut your Missourian hole.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
All right. Also, participles are new to Missouri.
All right. That could be true.
Okay.
Well, because we don't talk about it enough, it's time to talk some more about American Idol.
Woo!
The hopefuls have been whittled down to 11. Getting the boot was 28-year-old Brandon Rogers of North Hollywood, California. He says he saw it coming.
I was expecting it. I was, because I wasn't great. I did as well as I could, given that I forgot the words. But you don't want to forget the words at the beginning of the show.
I guess he forgot the words, so it sucks.
they don't give them a teleprompter or anything? I guess the whole thing of that show is the crash and the burn, right?
That's correct.
The failure. Now, I don't mean to be... It is not karaoke. It is karaoke idol. It's just karaoke. It's like concentration beats karaoke. Yeah, that's the thing. It is karaoke idol without a screen. Now, am I the only one who's surprised? And again, I'm not trying to hope to wish for the worst here. We've learned that we don't have to wish for the worst on this program. It just sort of happens. I think we're bad luck charms. I think this program brings bad luck. Not so much to the people on the show, but to everybody around us. We have sort of this reverse Midas touch. So I'm not really hoping for bad things to happen. But are you surprised that the people from these reality shows don't just kill themselves left and right? I mean, you would think that if you're on television...
I agree.
Yeah, there's on American Idol, which is that's the biggest of all these shows, right? And there's 75 million people. And then you're exposed, you know, for having, I don't know, showed your crotch on the internet or you just go
up anymore.
Or you just go on and you forget the words like a gibbering nitwit. I am amazed that some of these guys don't go home and just seal themselves up in a closet with a gas-o-matic. You know what I mean? They can't screen these people very well. And even if they do, hell, NASA screens people. And you still end up with some nutcase astronaut driving across the country in diapers carrying a boning knife and a taser. So it really does astound me that some Justin Guarini guy hasn't gone and just tossed himself into a mulcher somewhere. Yeah, exactly right. If somebody does, it's going to be Paula. It's not going to be one of the contestants. All right. Well, because it's like we were watching Rockstar Supernova. And I don't know what's her name got voted off, and it was a lot of like, well, I'd like to... Do you have any parting words? Please go to my MySpace page. You know, and then it's over. It's done. Over and finished.
I wonder if there have been any, like, conspiracies, like any reality star, like, killing themselves cover-ups. Like the family's been paid off.
It seems like that ought to be a reality show in and of itself. Where you lock a bunch of reality losers in a room with a gun. And then you just have a loop of their failure on television in a corner over and over again. And you see how long, and a big jar of whiskey. All right, here's Tim Riley.
An Oakland, California woman who lost a federal appeal to use medical marijuana said she's a dead woman walking. Yesterday, the federal appeals court ruled that Angel Raich could face federal prosecution for using medical marijuana.
We need to get Congress to pass a law that's going to protect us. Because today, the sickest of all the sick medical cannabis patients today just fell through the cracks.
Yeah, well, does it say much more about her case?
She suffers a variety of ailments, including sclerosis and a brain tumor. Her doctor said the drug is keeping her alive. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled against her even 2 years ago, saying despite California's law allowing medical marijuana, users and suppliers could be prosecuted for breaking federal drug laws. The ruling is the result of a high court asking the appeals court to look at the issue of the gravely ill having the right to use a drug to stay alive.
Yeah, this is what Lisa Goddard was talking about yesterday, and I didn't. We'll talk to Jim Roop later on. I won't mention this case to him. Lisa Goddard had mentioned this, and I didn't know what she was talking about. And then right after I got off the air, I was reading some news, and I saw this. Well, this one, she's only 42.
Yeah. This is only a few years older than I am. She's 42. How sad is that?
It's really sad.
Now I'm going to kill myself. She's 42. She had, of course, you know, she's sick. She has no appetite. She's, you know, she's got all this pain. She's got like 9 different diseases, any one of which is capable of killing her by that. I'm trying to be a big buzzkill. But, I mean, the, you know, this medical marijuana is the only thing keeping her from dying. And the Supreme Court just kind of gave her the big F off. And, you know, even though it's legal... I really do pray that lawmakers' families are just filled with cancer. And I know that sounds like a horrible thing, but I think it would be the best thing for this country. Because it'll never change. It'll never change until all of these people who work at the DEA, until they're all, and all of their loved ones, and their loved ones' friends, and their loved ones' friends' families, until they're all stricken with bone cancer. So that's the only thing that's ever going to change these stupid, goddamned, pointless laws. About medical marijuana, and it's not like drugs ought to be illegal to begin with, there's really no point there, but medical, if you're not going to give medical marijuana to a 42-year-old woman who's about to die otherwise, really, then you deserve cancer. So, if you're just going to hold out against her, you deserve the most painful death that God can possibly conjure up for you. You deserve for your head to be packed full of thumbtacks and weevils. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It's America's newest obsession, and people are overdoing it. They're tanning too much.
Has tanning gone too far?
It has. Now a new study shows tanning can be addictive behavior, much like a drug or alcohol addiction. Dr. James Lobecco didn't take part in the study, but he does work at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, wait, and I'm ready for it this time.
It's been a long time problem for dermatologists to try to figure out why we've had such a hard time convincing patients out there that sun and sun exposure is a real risk for us.
Yes, this fellow from the Cleveland Clinic says dermatologists need to reevaluate how to educate people about the risks of tanning.
It's, you know, quite frightening in the results of the study that the people who had a family history of skin cancer were more likely to undergo indoor tanning than people who didn't have a cancer history. So we'd still recommend that everybody needs to protect themselves from the sun, wear sunscreen, wear sun-protective clothing when they're going to be outside, and to seriously reconsider the idea to continue with indoor tanning.
Now, I'm never clear about this. So if I go outdoors...
Yes.
Okay, so let's say I go to California. I'm out of the... And even though it was, like, February, it was still, you know, there's a lot of sun there. And so, so I walk outdoors... And I come back in, I'm a little red, got a little, the tiniest bit tan. Now, if you put on sunblock, how do I put this?
Well, it's too late after that.
I say directing these.
You have to do it first.
Questions to Tim as though he isn't. Yes, if I am
blind. Well, I'm taking a correspondence course at the Cleveland Clinic.
Where?
Cleveland Clinic, continuing education.
If I'm burned and then just cover myself with a tasty coating of margarine. So if I put on sunblock and then I walk outside, what am I trying to say here?
I don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if I put on sunblock and then I still am tan, like my skin still goes dark, does that mean I've done it wrong? Is that the thing? Like, I guess what I'm saying is the sunblock is there to protect you from the sun and to protect you from harmful rays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go out in the sun with sunblock and you still come back and you're tan, does that mean that you just haven't put on enough? Is it really only working properly when you don't tan at all, period?
No, I think it alleviates you from burning. That's what sunblock is for. I mean, it cuts the harmful rays, so that way you do get a little sun exposure, but you're not, you know, burning your skin.
Okay,
I don't know if that's real,
you're totally making that up.
It sounded like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, but I mean...
But why would that not be the case? I mean, because you can put on sunscreen and that's why they have different SPFs.
Yeah, but okay, I understand that, but I'm saying if I... We're so dumb. We're all just... This show, we are just like a blind man just feeling his way through an unfamiliar house at 2 a.m. trying to whiz. That's what the show is. Just my brain is so small. But if you walk out of the sun and then later your skin is dark because the melanin has been released, clearly your body registered the fact that it was out there receiving harmful rays because that's what the melanin is in response to. So if you are tan at all, it seems like that is evidence that the rays got through to your skin and you're going to die. Okay, well, there you go.
Sure.
You're all going to die.
Well, it says harmful rays. I don't think all of the sun's rays are harmful.
I don't think you're right about that. I think it's all harmful. All right. Well, in any event.
Well, because there are vitamins that you get from the sun.
I don't think that's actually true. I think that there's the sun... Well, okay. There's way too much thought going on.
My program.
My final, and then we'll get back to boobs in a second. My final question is this, is skin cancer. Now, it doesn't seem like you should really worry about skin cancer, because isn't that when you just get like a mole, right? Isn't that the thing? You get a mole, and then they cut it out, and then you're fine. Isn't that the deal?
I suppose
so. It's not like lung cancer, where they have to go and take out your lung, or, you know, you've got more skin.
No, they don't take out lungs for sunburn.
that part I do know. No, but I mean, if you've got...
No, seriously,
if you've got a tumor in your brain,
as many of us do.
Well, that's bad, because they have to take open the top of your skull, and then they have to go in and take out the tumor, but some of your brain probably comes with it, and then that's no good, blah, blah, blah. If you've got, just like the mole or the skin cancer or whatever, can't they just go and they, like, cut it off and then more skin grows in to replace it and you're fine? I mean, you didn't tell me. So it doesn't seem like, so skin cancer is not really a big deal, it seems like to me.
Okay, here you go. It's advised that sunscreens block out only UVB rays, but if you stay in the sun too long, the sunscreen user will increase exposure to harmful UVA rays. So it blocks out UVB, you still get UVA, which gives you vitamin D. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I was just going to stare at you until you admitted that you didn't know. Here's Tim Riley.
I don't know where to pick things up from here.
Really? Do we have anything about
that? We do have a Britney watch.
Man, there you go.
That's typical. Make things feel nice.
That'll count as our boob story. Think up, did it again.
Britney has become a Coke fiend. No, not that kind of Coke. The pop princess has been drinking 24 cans of Coca-Cola a day. What's more, the toxic singer hasn't been an ideal patient.
She's been drinking how many?
24 cans of Coca-Cola.
She's been drinking a case of soda a day. She's going to be fat. Her teeth are going to be skinny.
She has a bad attitude problem, says an insider. She's been very demanding, acts like a 12-year-old, throws temper tantrums if she doesn't get what she wants. Obviously, she does get Coca-Cola. She refuses to pick up after herself, and even if she's asked, she says, hire a maid. She's asked for this and that, special food, special everything. She's not nice to anyone.
I hate Britney Spears.
It's likely she's acting out because she feels she doesn't belong in rehab in the first place. I heard she keeps saying that she is just sick from postpartum depression, and she doesn't have a real addiction problem, which is a joke. She has an addiction. Meanwhile, she's looking for love from her fans. In a note posted on her official website, BritneySpears.com, the singer offers visitors a link to where they can, quote, send your thoughts and inspiration to Britney. Spears also recently shocked the public by completely shaving her head. Prior to, well, we all know this stuff. Anyway, Spears is filed for divorce. We know that part, too.
But yeah, the thing about her being bulimic...
I saw that somewhere.
It's somewhere in the pile there. There's the pile. I think it might be in the watch pile there. There's something about she's bulimic or something. She's got a blah blah blah. She's got some ailment that begins with a B. I forget what it is. Botulism.
Bulimic or bipolar?
Yes, that's it.
All right. Trouble star Britney Spears is suffering from bulimia. She has been since she's been 16. Source also says. The 25-year-old has been diagnosed with mental health problems, bipolar disorder, which is nice for having children, two of them, manic depression, but her eating disorder is hampering her recovery. She's on a medication for bipolar disorder, but the pills are not staying in her system because she is bulimic and is throwing them up before they can help. In the past, she'll pick out on junk food, chips, candy, cola, and ice cream, and then she'll feel so guilty she'll make herself throw up.
Whatever.
The only thing to make her stop is when she got pregnant. Well... I guess she's going to have to keep that up.
I guess, yes. That's because we found a cure. Let's get Rusty Yates is not doing anything. He's able to ship him up there. He seems nice and fertile. I could never be, and it's not like it's a real problem for most men, I would admit. I could just never be bulimic. There's just no way. I just hate vomiting so much. I hate it.
I think we all hate vomiting.
Yeah, but I mean, really, I can't even. It's like there's the most. Have you ever read the Elton John autobiography? Which I think has been updated. I think he's put on another one. But there's Elton John put out this biography in like, kind of like 98, 97, something like that. Not the document, not the tantrums and tiaras, but it was like a book. And I swear to God, there was just like the most revolting, like a chapter where he just went into like the most horrific detail about his bulimia. Where he was talking about, my favorite things to throw up were foods that were nice and soft. I like to vomit macaroni. And I'm just reading this going like, what? Why would you share this with me? What if I want to... And shrimp. I love to vomit up little baby shrimps. And I'm reading this like, what? Why would you ever put this in a book? It is the worst thing I've ever heard. So there you go. Yeah, there's Brittany. Brittany, she's not dead yet. There's your Brittany watching.
There's
something I want you to have. Listen to this. This is Fred. If you'd like to, here you go. This is this is what makes America great right here. Positive affirmations from the male half of society. Rick, Brittany needs to become anorexic. Have you seen the weight that cow has put on? It's almost hard to believe that women have image problems. Let's see. Rick, skin cancer will kill you dead. It killed my aunt. Like all cancer, it spreads. And I swear to God, he signs it Scott. Woot, woot. Presumably that wounding is not about the dead ants. That's about something else. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, you can cut it. Like, it's right there on the top, right? It's not like a tumor on your kidney where they got to go in and, like, root around and find it or something.
No, my dad has skin cancer on the top of his head because he's had it shaved for so many years. Right. So he got burned. Yeah. So he has to put on this ointment stuff that basically takes off, like, a ton of layers of skin. I mean, so it's just all scabby and gross. I mean, it goes pretty deep.
That's no good. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Barack Obama slipped in a compliment of sorts about fellow 2008 hopeful John Edwards during an Iowa stump. I want to wait in here what John Edwards has to say. He's kind of good looking, said he. Some envision Iowa caucus goers from the small town of Clinton telling themselves that same thing. During an appearance in West Burlington, Iowa, he says Edwards is kind of cute.
And that's not really even true. John Edwards has got a massive head. His head is huge, and he's got that Fisher-Price hair.
Hmm. Does he still have that same thing on his lip?
And he's got the weird growth on his lip, too.
Is that still there?
Yeah, it is. Well, I hope maybe he's gotten rid of it by now. He's... and do you ever wonder about this? Do you ever... And look, I don't mean to be lookist, but I'm saying with Canada's John Edwards, I guess in a sort of, you know what he looks like? He looks like John Davison, sort of. Isn't that guy's name from That's Incredible? Was that John Davison?
Davidson.
Davidson. He looks kind of like that guy. So John Edwards, I guess, is sort of good looking in maybe like a 70s kind of way. He does maybe sort of like in a Ron Burgundy kind of way. I guess John Edwards is sort of good looking. But then he's got that wife of his who's just as big as a house. I mean, really, I hate to say that, but it's true. She's just like that. She's like, it's like a little man standing next to a barn, that woman. And so I just wonder if that's a sort of, you wonder if there's advisors who are just trying to get him to like leave her at home or something the next time he goes on the campaign trail. Let's do these, and then we'll break. We've got Jim Roper in the corner, more from Tim Riley, et cetera. Did I say et cetera?
Wow.
It's like a shot caller. All right, Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
You know, there's just so many ways to answer that question, so I'm just going to say, hey, what's up?
Hey, it's Jesse from Red Hot Pistol. I was calling about the finding us a space. Yeah, well, you know. I know you take time.
No, it's true. And thank you for reminding me. So today is Thursday. So what I'm going to do is this. I actually had a note to myself, believe it or not, my friend complained about this. I'm going to, because I'm a nerd, I'm going to, over the weekend, maybe actually tonight I'll do it, I'm going to post on rickemerson.com, and then I can link also to, if you want to send me a link or whatever, the instrumental version of that song you gave us. And then we'll have folks start kind of submitting stuff to us.
Yeah, we also have stuff. Oh. A couple people from when we first talked about it tried to get our songs off MySpace, but the MySpace is just so flawed. You know, it hardly works.
MySpace sucks. So it takes forever to, like, the songs buffer and everything. It's real hard to do that.
So we put our songs on Pure Volume. So it's just purevolume.com/redhotpistol. And if anybody wants to go there and get download the tracks, they can do that as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you for reminding me about that. So I will get that up on my site within the next day or two, and I'll link to that Pure Volume site as well. And we'll do our best to, I say, moments after slagging American Idol, we'll do our very best to find you a lead singer, sir.
Very nice. Hey, well, I also had a bulimia thing for you. I had a psycho girlfriend she was bulimic, but I didn't know it the whole time. And she would throw up all the time, and she ended up throwing up her birth control pills.
Oh.
And you can see how that ended.
Oh, no. How did that end?
Well, it ended in I didn't have a kid from a relationship, let's just say that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on now. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Jesse. Honey, let's go hot tubbing.
On that note.
Have a gallon of wine. 503-733. Don't fall down the stairs. 503-733-2970. Honey, do you like roller coasters? I haven't even read these Tonya Harding sex fantasies that somebody sent me. Can I just read this? You only can use one phrase? She leaned forward and exposed just a hint of beautiful cleavage. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this.